Good afternoon. Hello, there you go, there you go. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for coming along. My name is Matt McSpirit. I'm one of our technical product managers here at Microsoft. And I'm joined by Mark.
I'm Mark Austin, Senior Program Manager.
And today we want to talk to you about some of the tools and techniques that are available to help you migrate your workloads from VMware to Hyper-V. There's a number of tools and options available, and we're going to cover some of them in this session. So starting with some of the core tools that are built into System Center, and then we'll start to look at some of the free standalone tools that you can utilize to start to migrate workloads and how that scales as we go forward as well. So what are we really going to look at? This clicker's not. Oh, there we go. We're going to first take a quick look at the kind of companies that have been migrating. Have we got any examples? Have we got any switchers, as we call them? Companies that have made that journey, they've made that leap from vSphere over to Hyper-V. And we'll explore some of the, briefly explore some of the reasons of why those companies have done that. We'll look at some of the tools available or a specific tool that can help you do that initial assessment. So if you're thinking about moving your infrastructure across to Hyper-V from vSphere, and you've got a dispersed or a broad vSphere infrastructure already, and you want to understand just exactly what you've got out there that could be migrated, we've got some tools that you can run that are free and agentless and very lightweight that can help you assess your infrastructure. And once you've assessed, you can then start to use the conversion tools to actually convert the VMs across. So we'll cover some of those. We'll look at some of the migration techniques that are available within System Center, specifically within Virtual Machine Manager, 2012 SP1 being the shipping version today that we'll cover. And then we'll start to spend a little bit more time on the actual free standalone tool that we make available called the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, or MVMC. And how you scale that, hence the little scale icon, I couldn't come up with anything better. How you scale that out is with the Automation Toolkit, also known as the MAT. So we'll explore all of those things and we'll wrap up with some other cool videos of some of the tools that are available as well. So let's kick off. Who is migrating? Who are the kind of customers that are migrating across from VMware to Hyper-V? Well, there's a broad set of customers, no specific size, no specific shape. There's lots of organizations that are just weighing up the why migrate for a number of reasons. We think about some of them that have made the leap, not just this year, but previous years. So Pella, we're an organization who make Windows, physical Windows, and they're an organization that chose to switch to Hyper-V. Not necessarily because of just cost, although that plays a big part for certain organizations, because the license fees associated with the VMware technology can be pretty steep. So moving across to Hyper-V gave them a cost angle, but it was things like System Center. Having the granular insight into their complete infrastructure that System Center gave them above and beyond vCenter gave them a significant advantage over what they had before, which gave them a competitive edge in their business. So going to System Center and using the free Hyper-V was a significant move for them, and they used some of our automation tools to actually shift across from VMware to Hyper-V. And that wasn't 2012, that was a migration across to 2008 R2 Hyper-V. And that was before all the cool features like shared nothing live migration, network virtualization, and all the other stuff you've learned about this week came along for Hyper-V. So they made that leap very early. But there's a couple of others. Domino's, who I'm sure you know. Domino's Pizza, very, very busy on certain days, well, every day, but on certain days, like the Super Bowl. Their transactions, what they're processing, is a phenomenal amount of processing and resource. And yet they chose Hyper-V to put in all of their stores to run their key line of business mission-critical workloads. So they made that choice to switch across to Hyper-V. It gave them the great performance. But again, System Center for the management of all of those servers and that infrastructure gave them a step up and an advantage over what they had with their previous solution on vSphere. Apartments.com moved across from the VMware-based infrastructure because they found it was inflexible, specifically around the developer needs. Because of some of the integration that Hyper-V and System Center specifically had by integrating with their dev tools like Visual Studio, helped them to migrate across and also see benefit around when they got there. They could see significant improvements in the way their devs interacted with their virtual infrastructure to provision new workloads for dev and test type scenarios. And finally, Acer, another big organization, chose to make the switch across to 2012 Hyper-V. And their savings, they're seeing big savings in a cost way, $600,000 a year. And that could be even higher as they roll this out across all of their other data centers as well. And we've seen that Telefonica in the keynote yesterday, again, a significantly sized infrastructure, much bigger than many of these, and yet they've made that switch using some of our tools and using our consulting services as well. So there's lots of choice. There's lots of choice of customers. If you want to talk to some of these customers, they're available to talk to you if you want to learn more about what they've gone through to get there. But they're just some examples. But how do you get started? Do you just dive straight in and just start converting VMs right, left, and center? No. You want to do the initial assessments to ensure that you're capturing all of the VMs. You understand that all of the VMs that can be converted. And then you can start putting in the plan in place to handle the conversion using some of the tools we'll talk about. And that initial assessment is made significantly easier with a free tool called the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, or the MAP Toolkit. And the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, if I dive into my demonstration machine over here, I've just got it running on my desktop machine here, on my laptop, and you'll see that the MAP tool, it's a small installer with a small SQL database that's local, and you can run it in a VM, you can run it on a desktop or a server. It just needs to be connected to the network so it can see everything. And in this case, I've got this tool set up, and you'll see all of the different things that it provides me in terms of scenarios. So I can get cloud scenarios, assessing my Azure VM readiness, my virtual machine capacity on Azure, readiness for 365. If we look across some of the others, desktop. Is my environment, are my laptops and desktop PCs ready to run Windows 8? Have they got the right features, the right functionality from a hardware perspective? So it's a multi-faced tool that can do a lot of different things for the environment, and it's all agentless. So it doesn't deploy anything out into your environment. It will just scan, it will inventory, and it will bring back the information depending on which test you've actually run or which assessment you've run. When we look at some of the virtualization specific configurations, here we go, server virtualization. There's one for desktop as well. You'll see there's lots of choices there as well. Consolidation. Maybe you're working with a customer who hasn't virtualized yet, or maybe you're considering virtualizing for the first time in your own environment. Either way, the MAP tool can provide that initial assessment of your infrastructure, capturing all of the physical machines, their usage, their CPU, their memory utilization, their disk I/O, and bring that all back into a spreadsheet and a nice report. So you'll see there's a number of different ones, but the one we're specifically focused on is around VMware migration. And this particular scenario, as it's called, will look at your vSphere infrastructure. It will bring back a list of all of the VMs and their metrics and their information, and it will give you a report that will tell you just what can and can't be migrated across using the tools that we'll talk about. So it's a very useful tool to get a grip on the infrastructure. And if we dive in and look at some of the reports specifically that pop out, you'll see that this one, this particular Excel spreadsheet, it's picked up the vCenter, the number of hosts that we've got, the virtual machines that are ready to migrate using MVMC, that Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter that we'll talk more about later on. But you'll see that some of them need a little bit of work to be migrated, and then some of them can't be migrated using this tool. And we'll explain some of the reasons for that a bit later on. But if we look in the virtual machine detail specifically, this is where we start to see a list of the VM, the host, the management server it's being managed by, and the migration recommendations. So this one's fine, it needs some changes. MVMC requires VMware tools, as an example. And again, we'll discuss some of these in more detail later on. But alternatively, there may be others that you can't migrate because the virtual machine is running perhaps an operating system that can't be migrated. So that's a consideration we'd have to make. We'd have to think about how we're going to be able to migrate that particular workload. And if you're thinking, well, that's nice in a spreadsheet, but I'd like something a little bit more rich that I can perhaps hand to, if I'm a partner, I can give a report to a customer, or I can provide an internal report to the rest of my teams, then the MAP toolkit provides a nice report pre-built using that data, and it just injects the appropriate data based on your environment. So we get a little bit of blurb about Microsoft and Hyper-V and why it's great, but then we get some useful charts, and not a particularly useful pie chart, there's just a single item there, but all of our environment in this assessment was ESXi 4.1. But you'll see it breaks down the usage, the virtual machine analysis by platform, and then which virtual machines can be migrated. What you'll see here is it's actually listing two toolkits that we can use for migration. The one we're going to spend our time talking about today is the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter on the right. The previous tool that we used to use, which we no longer use for conversion, but the map tool still references it in this case, was the VMMT, the Virtual Machine Migration Toolkit. So we're not going to be talking about that. That's something that's in the past now. Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter is the one where we'll spend all of our time. But you'll see that report, it's pretty useful, it's easy to decipher and understand, and you can provide that to your customers or your internal business teams to help make the decision and understand how you're going to migrate going forward. And you'll see there's a huge number of reports that come out of MAP for different uses, for link environments, for desktop virtualization, SQL migration. So remember, it's a tool that can do a lot of different assessments, and it's free, free to download.
Just curious, how many of you had heard of MAP before? Yeah. Oh, good.
So. All right, good, excellent. So it's in version 8, it's released. 8.5 is in beta, but it will be released very soon. So that version that I showed you is 8.5. So again, the iterations of these products come around very, very quickly to support new hypervisors or new releases of Windows or new products that come into the market from a Microsoft standpoint. So very, very useful as a tool to help you assess the environment. So we've done our assessment. We've identified a number of virtual machines that we want to convert, and we're happy to convert them. What choices do I have with my tools? Which tools should I use to migrate? Well, if I've got an investment in System Center today, System Center 2012, SP1 specifically, I can use that investment to migrate virtual machines to VMware. So I don't need to use any other standalone tools. I could use VMM, Virtual Machine Manager. So if I come across to my environment again, into my remote desktop session, and bring up VMM, you'll see that VMM, it can not only manage Hyper-V, but it also, in our fabric view, you'll see it manages Hyper-V, it will also manage vSphere through its connection with vCenter. So I've connected VMM to vCenter, and then I've gone through the wizard to bring in the host that I want to manage from a vSphere perspective. What I've done then, as you can see, my cluster has got a single virtual machine running on it in this case that's currently stopped, and it's on host number 2. How can I get that VM across to Hyper-V? Well, I've got actually two options. The first, I could actually treat it as a physical machine and convert it that way. So I could treat the VM as a physical machine, because we're only converting the OS. We're not converting the hardware. We're just capturing the operating system when we do a P to V normally. So I could treat that virtual machine as a physical machine and convert it that way, and go through the wizard, and VMM will do that conversion. Alternatively, I can use the Convert Virtual Machine wizard. And that's going to convert virtual machines from other virtualization technologies, but it will only support VMware. So I'm not quite sure why it doesn't specifically call that out. But you'll see it's found that VM that's running. It's running on ESXi. Its operating system is Windows Server 2012 in this case. So we'll go through this wizard. We've got the VM we want to convert. Don't need to change the name. How many processors, how much memory do I want to give this new virtual machine? So it's basing that on the existing settings in vSphere. And which host do you want to place this VM on when you've done the conversion or while you're converting? So I'm going to choose host number 2, and I'm going to choose some storage to place that new virtual machine on. I can select networks and configure those appropriately. It's a good idea in advance to have your vSphere and Hyper-V networks configured so they line up effectively, and that enables you to streamline that process. I've not got any nicks in this particular VM. I've just kept it simple in this example. And I choose what the actions are for the VM as and when it's finished converting and it starts up for the first time. Do I want this VM to always automatically turn on? Do I want, when the virtualization host stops, do I want to shut down the guest OS cleanly, etc.? So simple settings. And we'll go next. The final bit, I can take the PowerShell that VMM is going to execute under the covers, and I can start to use that perhaps through some form of automation. So I can start to build up a repository of scripts to actually automate some of this if I choose to.
I was going to say, you've got a relatively simple example here. I mean, that script is often much, much longer, but it's still relatively easy to understand. The network is usually where a lot of the bulk of that script lies.
Yep.
But it's quite readable, honestly.
So we'll go create, and off it goes. So that's going to take a few minutes to convert that virtual machine from VMware to Hyper-V. But that's as simple as that, and that's an in-box, System Center 2012 SP1 VMM feature. It's in previous versions of System Center 2012 VMM as well. Okay, so it was in 2012, I think it was in 2008 R2 as well. So if you are running a previous version, you've still got that V2V capability. And that supports the latest versions of vSphere and obviously converts to the latest version of Hyper-V. So that's the inbox with System Center, VMM on its own. So we saw, we walked through the wizard. Key thing to be aware of, you should have VMware tools removed in advance. And that's important. We want to remove those VM tools from the VMware VM and then do the conversion. So something to be aware of. And we'll touch on why that's important a bit later on when we start to talk about our Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter. And it can be on a host off, or it can be in the VMM library. So that virtual machine that's on VMware could be visible in VMM's library, just stored offline, and we can do the conversion from there. Or in my case, it was just residing on a host. So we flick through the wizard, we choose the host, we select the networks, and we see the View Script button that generates the PowerShell that we can reuse. Now, if I want to scale that out, I could use that PowerShell. Alternatively, I could start to integrate it with one of the other System Center tools, Orchestrator, and start to really build up some powerful runbooks to automate this at scale. But that would require a little bit of work on your part to build those runbooks and to connect all of the things together to make that happen. But we've got partners in EMEA, in Europe, and in the US and around the world building these runbooks to help customers migrate quickly based on their environment. So they've got the skills in Orchestrator. VMM is the conversion engine. So the runbook would talk to vSphere, it would remove the VM tools, it would talk to VMM, it would automate the conversion, and it would tidy up after the fact. So there's choices within System Center to help you handle that migration.
Yeah, I was going to say, in fact, the tool that Matt referenced earlier, the VMMT, that was all based on Orchestrator and a web UI. And one of the reasons that we've moved to the MAT, the Microsoft, well, the MVMC Automation Toolkit, is that it didn't require System Center. So a customer didn't have to have an investment in System Center just to migrate.
Yeah, that's a great point. So that migration demonstration and the talk we've just given around VMM, it requires System Center, which is a licensed product. So if you're looking to migrate workloads at a lower cost and maybe just test the water, so migrate a couple of your VMs across to Hyper-V at no cost, then this is where we start to think about the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter. So what is it? Well, essentially, MVMC is a free download, fully supported by Microsoft. It's what we term a solution accelerator. So it effectively allows you to convert those virtual machines with no cost to you in terms of just downloading that product. It will convert to 2012 Hyper-V hosts. So it will convert those virtual machines and deploys them from VMware hosts to Hyper-V hosts running the latest version of Hyper-V. It doesn't support today Hyper-V 2012 R2. Okay, that's which the preview has just released. So that's something to be aware of, but you could convert to 2012, and that VM would be compatible with 2012 R2, so you'd have no problem there. I just don't think it would run on 2012 R2 at this time. It may do, but it's not been tested. It's fully scriptable, and you'll see Mark exploit this to the max as we go forward, building out what it can do in terms of scaling out its capability and programmatically administering and using MVMC. And the OSs it supports to convert Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2008, and Windows Server 2003 SP2, and some of the client operating systems as well. You'll notice it doesn't support conversion of 2012 as a guest. Okay, that's something that you need to bear in mind. VMM would do that, but MVMC will not convert 2012 guests. We find that customers running 2012 guests on vSphere at this point in time are probably reduced. There's probably not as many as those running previous versions of Windows Server on previous versions of vSphere. They're probably more likely the candidates, the better candidates, for the use of the conversion tool. So something to be aware of. Should we duck into a demo, or do you want to go through some of the capabilities?
Let's pop in.
So we'll show you. We'll show you what it's all about before we talk about some more of these things. Oh yeah, you're going to pop out of there. Okay.
My session's still connected. That was my real password, the real long one. And yeah, so here's the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter. Hell, I was busy at work before you got here. So how many of you, just again curious, how many of you have heard of this tool? So considerably less. So the good job for the MAP toolkit. They've done well. As Matt said, there's two versions of this tool. There's the UI, which we have here, and it walks you through as a wizard, and we'll do that real quickly. And then there's also a command line version, so there's an exe. The EXE supports a full conversion. It also supports just a disk conversion. So if you had a disk standalone that you wanted to convert, you could do that as well. So you see here, it shows you what operating systems are supported. And then we can go and talk to our VMware server. So
is this direct to ESXi or is this via vCenter?
In my case, this will be vCenter, but we could also go to the ESXi. It says there. So vCenter, ESX, or ESXi. We can talk to any of them, provided it's the right version. There's my secure and unguessable password. No one can crack it.
There you go.
Yeah, so I think we have this on a slide coming up, but the versions that it supports are 4.0, 4.1, 5.0, but not 5.1. Hence, the reason we can't convert 2012 is because 2012 only runs on 5.1. So what it's going to do is go out and discover in my environment what virtual machines are out there. And there you see them. Make that a little bigger if I can. Oh, no, I can't. But we can scroll. And what you see there are certain machines have the little information sign, and some do not. So this machine is convertible. I could select it. This machine is not. And if I should be able to click on there, it should give me the reason below. But in this case, it should be fairly clear that's a template and not actually a VM. So that's good. The name might give you a clue as to why this one won't convert. But anyway, it'll give you the reasons for why these won't convert. This one here as well, there's no tools involved. So one of the things that this does is remove VMware tools, which V2V does not do. So the VMM version of the tool, as Matt said, you need to take ownership of removing the tools, and that can be a bit of an overhead. So it's something you would definitely want to automate. So let me just grab one of these that is convertible, and you'll see then that it allows me to connect to that machine, specifying by default my Windows account. They won't work here, so I would have to change those.
So would you need administrative privilege inside the VM?
Yeah, so one of the things that it does is remove VMware tools, and the way that it does that is logging into the machine and uninstalling them, so it needs to have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
And you need to have the ability to connect via WMI. We've got all this in later slides, but just for reference. And then, of course, here you get to choose whether or not you want the source machine to be on at the end of this process or off, and then the destination. You can set them both to on if you so choose. That's probably not a good configuration, but it's completely at your disposal because, again, these are all basically options on the command line. So I'm going to stop short of actually certainly looks right. It's hard to believe I would have typed that password wrong. It's nice enough to check my credentials. Well, I'll stop here because I want to. This isn't the point. The next step will be to convert this, and we're going to show another tool anyway. But yeah, so it's obviously authenticating my credentials there, and it doesn't like these for some reason. Yeah, it's not going to. Doesn't even accept blank there, so that won't work. Anyway. So that's the purpose of this. Then we would select a Hyper-V host where we want this to show up. And what we would need is share on the Hyper-V host in order to support that. So let's go through these.
Yeah.
Wizard-driven, as you just saw. And as I said, there's a command line EXE for both the full VM conversion and the disk conversion. So that gives us the ability to do offline conversions of VMDKs directly to VHDs. If you have a need for that. And it does remove VMware tools for a clean migration. So that's really kind of the biggest pain that we have. I've been doing VM migrations for about 2 years. That's all I've kind of done since then. And certainly the biggest thorn in our side is VMware tools. Because ironically, the disk geometry conversion, for the people who know how to do it, is easy. VMware does not want us removing VMware tools. They're happy to let you upgrade. You know, you can go into their UI, right-click, 1,000 of them upgrade, it'll do that, but there's no uninstall. And so getting them off of there is really the difficult part. So the beauty of MVMC is that it takes care of that. And of course, it installs Hyper-V integration services once it comes up on the other side, boots up, and you get all of your goodies. So let's talk about kind of exactly what happens so that you understand what's going on. So here we've got our three machines involved, two environments essentially in a machine. So you need one machine to act as the conversion machine, the machine that will actually run the executable that does the conversion, and then of course the VMware side and the Hyper-V side. So the first thing that you saw that we did was select a particular VM, or select a source. So this is the vCenter that I'm connecting to. And then from there, I need to pick out a particular VM that I want to convert.
We could use ESXi directly as well.
Of course.
Sure. Yep.
So once I've selected the VM that I want to convert, I need to tell it where on Hyper-V this is going to land and the appropriate share. And then we're going to start the conversion. So the first thing that the conversion is going to do, as I said, is, well, actually, the very first thing it's going to do is take a snapshot, just in case. So if anything goes wrong, you've got a snapshot of before anything happened, because you don't want to be in a position where something goes wrong, your tools aren't fully installed anymore, you can't manage it on VMware, blah, blah, blah. So snapshot, you can always revert back to that if anything goes wrong.
So snapshot with all the tools inside and everything. Yeah. So.
Exactly as we were starting.
Yeah.
So once we've done that, then we're going to go ahead and uninstall VMware tools. And by doing so, we lose the ability to manage that VM on VMware, right? VM manages it using VMware tools. They're now gone. So this is an unmanaged device. So we're going to go ahead and turn it off. And then we do a copy of the disk out to the conversion machine. And then once it's on the conversion machine, we're going to make a VHD out of it. So we're going to do the disk geometry changes on that file, and we'll produce a VHD.
So how much disk space would we need for this conversion machine to make this happen?
So 2x the conversion that's happening at a minimum. So obviously there are two copies of that at that point. So we brought it over, that's one. We're duplicating it, that's two. It'll go away at the end, but in the meantime, we do need that. So however the biggest disk is, twice that. Then we'll copy that off to the Hyper-V server via share, and then essentially build the container for the VM around that. So we know what all the configuration items were, how many CPUs, RAM, and all that. We'll build that container up and then put the VM or VHD into the container. And at that point, it could be started. So those are the steps that the process will take. And at that point, you've got a completed conversion. So the good news is it does that all very easily, very cleanly through a UI. The bad news is it only does it through the UI one at a time. So I can't multi-select VMs and convert 5 or 50 or 100. I can only do one, and when I'm done, go back and start over. So what I want to do then is look for other ways to kind of improve that. But let's talk just for a second about the configuration so that we've covered our T's and C's, as we say in the States. So the guest operating systems that we support are listed there. So you see basically Vista through 2008 R2. Pretty much every flavor I could have come up with. And the machines that can support the conversion, so the machine where the EXE runs needs to be 2012, Windows 7, or Server 2008. Not a very big deal. So on the VMware source, hypervisors 4.1, 5.0, ESX, ESXi, and then the disk types that are supported are IDE and SCSI, VMFS, Stream Optimized, VMDK Flat or Sparse, Delta, and then Single or Multi Extended. And then we always get the question, do we support raw disks? And the answer is no, because the raw disk doesn't have a VMDK on it. So there is no file that we can steal off and convert. So hopefully I'll save a question there. And then on the destination side, Windows Server 2012, Hyper-V Server 2012 by itself, and then R2 of both of those. And disk types, we support IDE and SCSI, and then fixed or dynamic VHD. Obviously, we make the conversion for you, so the first disk on the VMware side is going to be SCSI, and it needs to be IDE on our side, so that'll automatically happen. And if there's additional ones, they'll be placed in the SCSI. So that's how that works. So I guess that was where we were going to jump into the demo, but we beat all that.
Correct. So the key thing here is we've shown you how easy it is to migrate an individual VM, one at a time using MVMC, a couple of clicks, and as Mark said, there is a command line interface to that component or that piece of software that you could start to automate some of that a little bit more. But what we want to think about is, how can I make that process more efficient? Because doing one at a time, if you've got a small number of VMs, fine, easy. 10, we could do one a day maybe for the next 10 days and we're good to go. But if you've got hundreds or thousands of VMs to convert, that is going to be a lot of clicks and it's going to be a lot of time. A lot of time to convert and a lot of time spent in the wizards. And we can think of a better way. How can we start to automate that whole process?
Yeah, so luckily the people who wrote the MVMC left us that executable just for that.
But you know, why do we need it? Why do we need Matt? Well, simple. We need the MVMC automation toolkit that Mark has authored to scale out MVMC conversions. That's the sole reason we need it. Because on its own, it's only going to handle those single conversions at a time. But with the Matt wrapper, the PowerShell wrapper that Mark has written that we're going to demonstrate and talk about, that allows it to scale out considerably. And it allows it to effectively achieve conversion simultaneously at scale so you can get your conversion processes and projects done much quicker. So as we said, standalone, it's one at a time, but with MVMC Automation Toolkit, the MAT, we're able to effectively script and build out that scaled migration process. So that's what the MAT is, the MVMC Automation Toolkit.
All right, so let's talk about the architecture of the MAT. And as Matt said, this is really just a couple of PowerShell scripts. And think about that for a second. So MVMC is an executable. There's nothing you can do with it. But this is a PowerShell script. We give it to you. It's a PS1. You don't like the way I wrote it? Change it. And we encourage that. We'll talk about where you can download this on Building Clouds. We have a blog. We get people posting up there all the time. Wouldn't it be more efficient if you did this? Absolutely. I'm not a developer by trade. I learned enough PowerShell to get this done, and I'm learning a lot more from the community than they are from me. But I am saving everybody a lot of time because this works right off the bat. So just think about the power and flexibility of being able to do anything you want within that script. You can add steps to the end to take care of more business that you want and things like that. So one of the things that the executable does not do, that the GUI does, is that first step where we connect it out to VMware and got a list of all the machines. The XE doesn't do that. So the first thing that the MAT has to do is provide that component. So the first thing the MAT will do is go out and, using Power CLI, it'll collect all the information about your VMware environment, and then it'll drop it into, the MAT requires some form of SQL. It works with SQL Express. And the reason we made this decision was because in the last 2 years of doing a lot of conversions with customers, they don't go overnight, right? Sometimes they take weeks, sometimes they take months. And so SQL seemed like an appropriate repository for data over that period of time. So again, you can use the free version. SQL Express works fine. We're going to take the data out of vSphere and we're going to, drop it into that SQL table. From there, we run a stored procedure to sort it out and figure out which machines are converted and not converted. So what we get back is the full list, and then we do the sorting in SQL. And what we end up with is exactly what we should have had in the GUI without the GUI. So from there, what we do is take the list that we've got of available valid VMs, and we drop them into a text file. So one of the things, when I started work on this, as I said, I worked on some previous iterations of conversion tools that relied on web UIs and some other things to make the user interaction more comfortable. But my boss kind of said, no UI this time. I want it as clean and simple as it can possibly be. So what we've done is we take the list of VMs and we put it to a text file. You open up Notepad. You get rid of the ones that you don't want to convert right now. So that may be, you get 100 VMs. I want to convert 15 right now. I'm just going to not, remove the other 75 or 65, and off we go, right? So at that point, it's completely within your control using the most simple tools we could think of. You can also order that list if you need VM 13 to be the very first VM to convert, move it to the top of the list. So it'll respect the order in the text file. What that does then, once you're done, is it's going to update the SQL database with that new information and then start the conversion process. So what we do is we have PowerShell kicking off the MVMC executable, And that's responsible for actually removing VMware tools and moving the VM over to Hyper-V. There's a lot of things.
Is that running on the control machine at that point?
Yeah, so this is running on the control machine.
Right.
And we have the ability to run, I'm capping it at 3, so 3 conversions simultaneously on the control machine. So if that one conversion was going to take me 20 minutes, I can get 3 of them done in, well, maybe 27 minutes now. So almost exactly the same amount of time with a lot of improvement in performance. But the nice thing about this is we also have architecture in here, again, because we're using SQL, to scale this out to what we call helper machines. So machines that have the MVMC executable and these PowerShell scripts on them, and the control machine will call out to them and say, hey, it's your turn, go grab the next 3 machines, convert them, and report back to SQL as you do that, and step to the next machine and the next machine. And so here, you can literally scale out infinitely. There's probably a practical limit to that, but there isn't any in the PowerShell script. So I think the first time we did this, I ran 9 or 12 at once in a show, and that all works fine. It's a lot to keep track of as the person who's responsible for making sure everything goes smoothly. There's a lot going on, so there's probably a practical limit there as well. But anyway, we've gotten now taken this tool that we were able to do one at a time clicking through, and now we can do, you know, 3, 6, 9, 12, however many you're comfortable managing. So let's walk through that. All right. So let's break out of there. Okay. I'm going to start up.
Hey, could you make the font bigger?
Yeah, I guess we could. Okay, I don't know that zoom it is on here.
Size at the top there.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's the size of the window,
yeah.
Properties.
Okay. There we go. Font. Oh, too much, probably. Eligible now? It's okay.
Thanks.
All right, good. Easier for me, too. So the first thing the script does, it went by very quickly there, was it checks to see that you're in an elevated PowerShell session, and if you're not, it tells you that and tries to elevate itself, because we do need elevated privileges to run executables and all that. So anyway, the first thing that we do is go out and collect, as I said. So I've already done that, but I would just type L here, and it would go out and start collection. Well, wait a second. How does it know where to collect from, right? I haven't given it any information yet. Well, I kind of have, you just haven't seen it. So if I go to the mat folder, what I've got here is an XML file. So there's a couple of PowerShell scripts and an XML file, and the XML file stores all the values that we need to get this done. So you can keep everything in one spot. Multiple machines, the remotes can use this as well and all that. So this tells us what our credentials are, where the resources lie, you know, where the share is, whether we want machines up or down, all that. So that's the basis for the collection and everything that will follow. So I can go and go manage my list real quickly. So I create a list. Okay. So here's my VM list. And I'm just going to take a couple to start with. And save that off. So really, that's as far as UI, that's as much as we have. So once I've saved it off, I'm going to update the database and let it know that these are the VMs that we're going to start with. And I can just double check to make sure that they're in there. And yeah, they are. So we've got 4 VMs out there ready to convert based on our collection that I did an hour or so ago. And then I'm going to go back to the main menu and type C for convert and walk away. So you can see CLCLX01, I did right as we were setting up the session, and it's completed successfully. This particular view that you see there at the top, we'll come back to that in a minute, but it gives me the last hour of active conversions. So if something finishes, there's an hour's worth of back window that it'll show up. So if you can see some of the things that are popping up there, you see that we had how many slots we have in use. So I said we could go up to 3. I have 2 configured at the moment because that's the safest guideline. So you saw that it went through, it got 1, passed it off to the convert server. In this case, that's the local host. And then it got the second one. And now, as far as this machine is concerned, it's at capacity until one of these 2 finish. And so this will crank on for about 20 minutes or so. These are 18 gig disks. But what you can see there is what server it's running on, in case you've got multiple servers involved, and the process ID. So the PID is listed in case something goes wrong. Because we've definitely run into situations where people realize, oh, it's coming up on 7 in the morning, and people are going to start logging in soon, and it does not appear that this is going to finish in time, so I need to cancel it. So you can go and kill the PID, because the PID is shown there, and then there's actually steps in here to let you fix up the database after that, and if anything goes wrong, lots of stuff around that. So this probably won't be much to look at for a while, yeah, so you'll see the refresh happen, and then we'll just get the same list again. Oh, we had an unexpected exception right there, so there's something unusual there. Oh, and it's number 5. 5 always fails. Why do I pick 5? Ask him every time I pick 5.
To show a failure.
Yeah, because it handles failure.
Okay, there you go, that's fine.
Yeah, so again, what we're doing here is we're wrapping that executable, and the other thing that we're doing is we're providing logging. So what the... that's 5 right there. This is the one that just failed. So what we do is we wrap the executable, we watch the PID, so we check to make sure that it's continually in memory every time we look at it, and then when it isn't, we know something's happened and it's finished. And while that's going on, the status that you saw in that refresh was based on reading this log file, which is not exactly the most readable thing, and turning that into very simple English, right? So we're at stage 1, we're at stage 2. We've had a failure, an unexpected exception happened, right? And then you can drop back to these logs and look at them to see what happened. So once we've passed this off to MVMC, we kind of lose control over what happens until MVMC is done. I wasn't on that team, so I don't have any special insight into it except I know what the error codes are. So in this case, we had an RPC error. So there's something about that VM where RPC is not working right. And RPC is, again, that first step we need to remote in to do the uninstall of tools. So that's where it's failing, and that's fine. We didn't want to try to convert it with tools still installed. So let's see. So real quickly, this is kind of what the full kit looks like. So there's the main script, which is that UI, well, whatever, that little menuing system that we saw. There's all the functions are buried inside of functions.ps1, and that's where we call up all the special things. And then for every executable that we launch, we kick off a convert PS1 and a logging PS1 so that they're managing their individual exes as they go. And that's really all that's here. And so, like I said, one of the things that the MAT doesn't do at this point is if you have a statically configured address, it doesn't capture that because the MVMC doesn't capture that. But because this is all written in PowerShell, we have the ability to alter the outside part and grab that data and put it in at the end. And we expect to do that in a later version of MAT. The first one that went out didn't have that ability. But again, these are all things that because it's PowerShell, we can do anything that PowerShell will let us do. And that's considerably a lot considering what all the commandlets that Hyper-V exposes these days. So let's talk about kind of the key features. So the MVMC also, the automation toolkit, of course, is free. It's easy to use. It's driven by PowerShell. SQL Express, or if you've got another version of SQL, you can point it at that. It's fine. And it's really designed for people who don't know anything about VMware conversion or SQL. There is one SQL script, the .sql file, that you have to run in SQL just to get it configured. We're going to make that even easier in the next version as well. But I mean, that's kind of the extent of the SQL that you need to know. Everything else gets handled through the script. And the same thing for the conversion. We make sure that if you fill in all the blanks in the variables file, everything else will get handled for you. We support multiple concurrent conversions on an individual server. And of course, we support multiple servers. So you can scale this out quite a long ways. It's extensible and customizable because it's PowerShell. And it provides simple reporting and management, which I could go back and show you. But essentially, if you wanted to report out to the C-level executive, here's where we are in the conversion of these 1,000 VMs. We produce CSV files of where we are in the, again, because we've got SQL, that's a lot easier to do. And you can take that back and you can look at it. And this is available on the Building Clouds blog, which we'll have the link in there later. But that's also where we have a conversation, a dialogue with you, you know, the community, about how do we change it, what needs to be added, you know, what'll make this better, what PowerShell is more efficient than the stuff I've used, all that.
So. Yeah. So as well as that, before we move on, that's the key thing, is it's that extensible nature of the map. If you're a PowerShell guru, or you've got gurus within your environment who could build a customized UI or expose and extend certain pieces of the functionality that Mark has written, you can really tailor and tweak this to your specific needs for your environment or for your customers' environments if you're a partner providing those services for migration. So it's got that real flexibility, and we're already starting to see partners, particularly storage partners like NetApp, start to expand and extend and integrate their stuff with the mat. Because think about it. Think what one of the, I suppose, the key considerations of this whole conversion is. One of the key things is just the amount of storage you may need to actually handle this conversion. Because if you're kicking off lots of these conversions simultaneously, they're all copying disks to the conversion machines, both the initial control machine that Mark highlighted on the architecture, and then those remote helpers, they're all going to need quite a bit of disk space. So that's going to be a consideration. Maybe that may limit how many VMs you can convert at one time based on your current disk situation. But that is going to consume quite a lot of disk space, and it's going to take a lot of time. Converting those blocks, it's going to take, as Mark said, for his VMs in this example, around about 20 minutes, and that's just for, what, an 18 gig VM? So if you've got environments where you've got 2 terabyte virtual disks in VMware, that's going to take time. You know, and it may be an overnight thing, it may be a whole day. So again, factoring all of that into the whole process can be time-consuming. So where am I going with this in terms of actual integration? Well, I mentioned NetApp. And NetApp have plugged in with their NetApp storage arrays into Mat. So what we want to show you is an early look at what NetApp are doing around, and Mark, working together with NetApp, to extend and integrate their storage capabilities with Mat. Because essentially, if you think about it, on a storage array like NetApp, what is the conversion from a VMDK to VHD? Well, if you think about what they are individually, they're just containers containing the operating system and the data for those particular virtual machines. So if we can find a cleverer way of just adjusting the headers to make it move from change from being a VMDK to being a VHD, then wouldn't that be a lot quicker? We don't have to copy the blocks. We can just change the relevant information, and that's exactly what NetApp have done.
Yeah, has anybody seen the NetApp Shift demo at their booth? They're showing it off there. If you get a chance, stop by and have a look, especially if you're a NetApp customer, and if not, you'll be wowed and wonder why you're not. But yeah, as Matt said, what they're doing is they're able to use the controller to change the way that that data looks, so that instead of being VMware VM, it's now a VHD, and it hasn't taken up any additional space. They haven't made another copy of it. They've just created essentially another container, as Matt said, right? Another wrapper for that data. And they're able to do that at speeds that are staggeringly fast compared to what a conversion tool like MVMC does. So what MVMC does in 18 minutes, the NetApp version does in 18 seconds. Right? So think about the scale difference.
Should we share the video?
Yeah, so last week I was out with NetApp working on taking their Shift tool and trying to bake it into something like the mat, so there's some sort of overarching, management, right? So we go out and get the environment data, bring it in, and then start giving the list of VMs to the Shift tool and letting Shift convert them, and this is kind of the resulting output.
Yep.
So you see it looks a lot like what I just showed. This isn't quite ready for prime time, but based on the POC that we did last week, we think within a few weeks we should be able to get this out there. So that was collecting data quickly, managing the data. So again, going out, creating that list. The new version actually brings up Notepad automatically.
Fantastic. Automation.
Yeah, it's automation. Adding, 20-some VMs to the list. I forgot how many there were. We'll see it in the list. And then go ahead and hitting convert. So there's the full list of VMs. And this took us 10 minutes in real time. This, I assume, is sped up a little quicker than 10 minutes, but you'll see them start going through. And you'll see the conversion themselves are taking between 20 and 29 seconds per VM. And these are 40 gig VMs.
40 gig fixed.
Fixed.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. So obviously this is sped up a little bit, but you see the, how quickly the conversion is completing. So what's really, ironically, what takes the most time in a in this situation is getting rid of VMware tools, because NetApp doesn't have any interest in that, right? They're just switching the disk over, and that's really the powerful part that they're adding to this. So we need a tool like the MAT or the whatever we call it in this one, the SAT, whatever,
yeah.
To go ahead, you know, find out what the environment looks like, remove VMware tools, take a snapshot, obviously, and then we're also trying to capture all the NIC info so that we can recreate that at the other end. So actually, if this comes to fruition as it appears like it will, we'll actually have more features in a tool like this than we do with anything we have so far. So yep. It'd certainly be a powerful addition to the arsenal.
And the NetApp guys have got this on the booth. They've got the videos, and they can talk you through exactly what's happening. But it is just a phenomenal example of A, plugging into MAT, and B, extending the solution in a way that's going to help customers who are NetApp customers or customers who are thinking about NetApp to actually handle that conversion. You've seen the speed. It's phenomenally increased. But also the fact that it just consumes no more space versus the conversion that we show traditionally with MVMC that would take significantly longer and consume a significant amount of disk space during the process. So if you've got NetApp technology in your environment, you've got the storage array, you've got that ability to handle that and really accelerate the process. So yeah, if you want to speak to those guys on the booth, I'm sure they'll be more than willing to speak to you as well.
Yeah.
Do you want to go back to yours? You had it on the screen before?
I was just going to leave it running so that towards the end we can show that it's still going, but
right,
it's still going.
Okay, I'll just flick over anyway. So while that's running, but there are other solutions out there still, other partner solutions that exist completely away from that. You know, we talked about VMM, we talked about MVMC and the MAT wrapper, and they're great solutions and no cost associated with MAT and MVMC. But it's still a cold process. There could be a significant amount of downtime for a VM that's being converted because of that whole disk copy process, unless you're using the NetApp.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably a good term to kind of define, right, is we talk about cold migrations. So cold in our language means that the machine is off during the conversion. So in the case of the MVMC, that's, you know, 18 minutes of downtime for these VMs. Bigger disks, obviously bigger downtime. In the case of NetApp, it's still down, but not for nearly as long, right? It's practically a reboot in that sense.
Yeah.
But it is down, right? It's not a warm migration.
No.
where the machine can stay up until the very last second and then simply reboot on the other side. That's what we would consider warm. Hot is not something that I expect we'll ever see.
No, I don't think hot is going to happen. But there are warm solutions for migration out there already shipping today. Think about an organization like Vision Solutions with their Double Take product, Double Take Move. If you think about what that can provide, real-time replication from an OS to an OS, so you can effectively be transferring and migrating across the network from a vSphere host to an Azure host or a Hyper-V host on-premise, and you're effectively migrating, getting those in sync until the last possible moment when you switch over. And then it's now running on the target platform, which in this case is Hyper-V.
Right.
So
and
you've got that flexibility.
I mean, it has some downside, too, because some customers aren't real happy with having to put a system-level driver in, right? Because
yeah.
There's
an agent inside the virtual machine, yeah.
But it certainly provides a lot of benefits.
Yeah, so it's a wizard-driven process. It's obviously very fast in terms of what it's doing to get that initial migration and then that flick over. The downtime is significantly reduced, and it would be probably less, I imagine, than the NetApp solution.
Yeah, it's effectively a reboot.
Yeah,
one reboot.
So there you go. So you've got, again, more solutions out there to help you migrate. But hopefully what we've shown you today is that in the box with the MAP tool, the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, you can scan stuff and identify what you want to migrate and whether it's compatible with migration. You've seen if you want to do a couple of VMs, you can just use the raw MVMC tool, the tool itself, the piece of software, and it's only a 4 meg download. So it's relatively small and lightweight. But if you want to extend it out and start to scale it up, that's where MVMC and the automation toolkit specifically comes in. So if we wrap up with some key information, we overloaded you today with acronyms. That's an omission we're willing to make. We had MAP, the planning toolkit, to help you assess. We had V2V and P2V, which VMM performs for us. We had Virtual Machine Manager itself, VMM. We had the MVMC, the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter. And we had the MAT, which is the MVMC Automation Toolkit. So all of those different components could be used to actually help you migrate across. And we also introduced another one that isn't on there, the SAT, which is the Shift Automation Tool for NetApp specifically. Whether that naming actually makes it to the wild, we'll see. But yeah, I'd urge you to go and have a chat with NetApp if you are a customer of theirs and thinking about migrations. So, in summary, people are migrating for a variety of different reasons. Cost being one, but system center management advantages is another. The flexibility that Hyper-V gives them going forward as well, and the new features and enterprise scale that we're introducing to the platform are very attractive to people. We think about this, the options for migration. We could use VMM. Just use that wizard if I've got that investment in System Center. Use that migration wizard either manually or automate it with Orchestrator or PowerShell. If I want to start to do this at low cost without an investment in System Center, then I can start to think about MVMC. Download it, play with it. It has got certain limitations. The scalability of it in this instance has been solved by the Microsoft Virtual Machine Automation Toolkit. However, if you still want to convert Linux virtual machines, MVMC won't do that for you, with or without the toolkit. If you want to convert Server 2012 VMs from VMware to Hyper-V, it won't do that. And it also doesn't support vSphere 5.1. So there's a couple of the considerations where MVMC, with or without the automation toolkit, wouldn't help in this scenario. It accelerates, if you do use MVMC, it accelerates that process. We've seen how using those helper nodes accelerates how many conversions you can do simultaneously, but remember the disk space. But if you have got an investment in storage technology like NetApp's, you can really start to crank those conversions incredibly quickly. And equally, you could go back the other way. Not using MAT, but specifically with the NetApp tools, you could convert back to VMware if you did want to transfer either way. So something to be aware of.
I was going to just plug quickly, so aka.ms, Building Clouds, that's the blog where a number of people blog, but all of my team blogs there. I blog there, and that's where you can see, if you find Migration Mark, that's me. All the things that I do are out there listed, and I've covered both V2V and VMC, MVMC, obviously. I'll start to talk about Shift as time goes forward. But if you haven't been out there, I suggest you go. One of the things that I think our most successful download at this point is the PDT. I don't know if anyone's heard of this. It's the PowerShell Deployment Toolkit. It installs all of System Center with PowerShell in about an hour. So if that sounds interesting to you, go out to Building Clouds and have a look. It's definitely one of the more popular tools out there, but there's lots of other neat stuff there as well.
So I was just going to bring it up if you want to click over to me.
On the thing. Oh, yep. There we go.
So yeah, if you go onto the site and you go to Migration Track, you'll find all of Mark's blog posts. So there's been a recent update for the MAT, version 1.3.1. And if you go in there and it's hosted on the gallery, one of the big things we wanted to make sure we gave you as part of the MAT was guidance and documentation. Because we realized if you're going to use this at scale, you need something to refer to. And so Mark has painstakingly written the... is it still right here? Yeah? There you go, if I'm not paying careful attention.
Yeah.
Has painstakingly written as part of the MAT the documentation, which is, what, 44 pages?
44 pages, yeah. A lot of talking about a PowerShell script.
Exactly. But it helps you to document and understand just what pieces you need to get set up, the SQL Express, the relevant components.
Yeah, and
also,
especially if you want to extend it, it tells you exactly where to extend it and what part of the workflow you're extending it in and why. So it's really designed around all of that.
Yeah, so you've got loads of information there to help you get sorted. And it's got all of the key considerations that we've been through today, what can and can't be converted, and how you're going to utilize that going forward. So it won't cover the NetApp stuff specifically.
No, not yet.
But it's there as documentation, as a source for you. So we're going to wrap up there. So thank you very much for your time this afternoon, and really do appreciate it. And hopefully you've found it and taken something away with some useful information about the different options you've got out there. So we'll sign off. Plenty of related sessions on VMware and Hyper-V and all of that cool stuff around multi-hypervisor management as well. But with that, we'll sign off. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.